This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
My big sister and I are so excited to introduce our new podcast to you. Trading Pages is a wonderful
podcast. Tradingpages.pantspending.com.
Hold on, I'm not there yet. A podcast where two sisters sit down and talk about their love for surrealist novels, manga,
No. We're talking about romance, meet cutes, daring acts of love.
A new plan. Each week we convene online, despite being 2,500 miles away, to willingly have sibling spats about our taste in books.
Each week, we assign each other a book outside of our comfort zone, and then the next week, we
tear it to shreds.
No, we discuss what we liked, what we didn't like.
Usually that one.
Bronwyn. And then we give each other a new book so we can start all over again. We have a 2-week schedule so listeners can read along if they like.
We are part of the Pants Pending Studios Entertainment Network.
Find Trading Pages at tradingpages.pantspending.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts. Bronwyn, what are you doing?
Hold on. I'm texting Mom to apologize for our content this week. Again.
Oh, no.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I'm going to find out what next week is like today, because I'm going to black out.
Get ready for the social hour.
Washington. This is the Social Hour. On today's show, from River City Brewing, Etienne Duvar. And now your host, sober but you wouldn't know it by his life choices, Deese Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another fantastic episode. I hope you're all out there and surviving. Made it through your 4th of July weekend. Happy Independence Day. Well, everyone had to stay home. We are back in studio. Again, guys, for those of you who are just tuning back in, haven't checked in the last few episodes, kind of change of format. Sophie and Jeremy no longer on the show regularly, just due to, you know, schedules and Jeremy pretending he cares about his kids and not wanting to give them COVID. So it's going to be a lot of me doing one-on-ones. We'll have some guest hosts, and Sophie and Jeremy maybe zooming in or rotating in, coming in to hang out occasionally. I want them here as often as they can, but things are changing. I'm doing this more often. My schedule's changing. So, we're just going to let it be what it is, see what happens. But the new format's been fun, doing more one-on-ones. You can go to Pants Pending or Patreon.com/PantsPending, guys, if you want to donate to the network. You get some behind-the-scenes content. You can do a one-time donation or subscribe, and Trading Pages, the new podcast. We're going to have the hosts of that podcast on very soon. So look out for that, but, go take a listen to that. And, eyeballing a couple other shows to maybe pick up for the network. So keep your, ears to the ground for that coming up soon, guys. And as always, just go to Deese Comedy for all the information about what's going on. All right, guys, we are going to get right into it because we got a great show for you in studio from River City Brewing in Spokane, Washington. We have the sales rep for them, Etienne Duvar. Etienne, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I'm glad you reached out so we could get you on. I haven't been... I used to be very involved in the beer scene in Spokane, in the Northwest, and that's scaled back recently in the last few years. But I feel like specifically River City's been around for a long time in Spokane.
Oh, yeah.
How long has River City been in business?
River City's been River City since 2012. If you want to really date them, you can go back to some of the equipment that goes back to T.W. Fisher over in Coeur d'Alene in 1988.
Was that where they got that stuff? Was that so? Was there any affiliation between that brewery and River City, or was it just the equipment?
So yeah, it was pretty much some of the recipes are still kind of the same.
Okay,
we have the vanilla bourbon stout. The basic build of that recipe is old.
Yeah.
And then we have the Huckleberry Ale that's been around since at least Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company, which is what T.W. Fisher turned into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I remember, that I was, because not long after I moved here, I went to Coeur d'Alene Brewing. And I remember tasting some of those beers and then River City opening up and kind of having the beers going, where do I know these beers from?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's wild, man. I mean, especially you're talking, Coeur d'Alene Brewing days. That's back when they were putting Maker's Mark in the vanilla bourbon style.
Oh, man, that sounded real good right there. That's what we call drive-in beer.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been with River City Brewing?
Oh, man, honestly, I'm just over the year mark.
Okay.
In the middle of COVID, I was celebrating my 1 year with the company.
Oh, nice.
Well, I guess only like my 10th month, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess it wasn't celebrating by getting laid off at least, right? So that's a good, you made it to a year.
Yeah.
Now, River City, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in the last few years they went through some changes. Were they kind of unofficially closed, or what happened with River City? What's the story there?
So they closed their front of house action. So they had, instead of having a tasting room, they closed down the operations of that.
Right.
And went specifically just to production and keg sales.
Okay.
And then what they were doing was once a month, they were opening up the back of the house so everyone could come in, and they called it their garage party. So the first Friday of every month, people could come in, have beers, hang out. Live music, and just kind of have a good time.
Yeah, was that was there a change of ownership during that time too, or is it still same owners, or what was the
ownership kinda took over when I actually started? So last year.
Okay, so it was kind of maybe just kind of the was it Caleb? Was that who owned it? What was the name of the game?
It was Gage.
Gage,
yeah.
Gage, was that his kind of way of like? He's kind of was on his way out with it, so just kind of cutting some costs and then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wasn't there to really give the attention the brewery needed.
Sure.
And he recognized that and said and kind of made the move to hand it off to someone else.
Okay. Now, who's the owner now?
Jeremy Tangen is now the owner of.
Oh, that's right. Tangen owns that. I forgot. Yeah. So now with that in mind, moving forward, I mean, Jeremy Tangen has done plenty of things in Spokane and successfully.
Yeah.
And the brewery scene, I mean, the craft beer scene has been growing in Spokane and the Northwest so rapidly. I mean, again. There was a time when I was, working with breweries in the Northwest, doing a lot of stuff. And it seems like, I mean, they're popping up in Spokane so rapidly where I can't even keep up anymore. I used to always, they were always on my radar when they were like coming up. And now I'll see them like fully up and operational. I haven't even heard of them. And I'm like, where did this just come? Like this lumberjack thing. And then this, there was another one I saw, some new one in Snow Piercer or something.
Oh, Snow Eater.
In Liberty Lake, yeah. And I'm like, where do these are just fine. I mean, if they were within 100 miles of me, I knew months in advance of them even talking about opening up, Like, how is that? I mean, how many breweries do we have in Spokane now? Oh. Or, like, if you're talking Spokane, the area, including Deer Park, Cheney, Liberty Lake, things like that. What do you?
I haven't done the math in a little bit, but we're definitely upper 40s.
That many?
Yeah.
I was going to say 30s, but man, 40s, that upper 40s, like pushing 50?
Yeah, I would
Jesus
say
Christ.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yep.
I mean, because we really haven't lost that many in the last few years, have
right.
we?
We've lost a few, but I mean, it's just still going to grow. If you lose a few, you grow 10 more. You
right.
know?
What, I mean, what's, there was one in Cheney that closed a few years ago.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, something I can't even keep track of it. But yeah, I remember those guys at a couple of the Brew Fest.
I know Budge Bros that used to be down on
Budge
Sprague.
Brothers,
those were good guys. Who else have we lost that maybe I don't even know about?
Well, there was, so let's see. I worked for Downdraft in Post Falls.
Okay, Amy?
Yeah.
Yep.
I worked for them, and they had to close. Well, they ended up selling, and then the gal that was running it after she bought it, she ended up closing up shop. They lost Biplane. That was another one in Post Falls.
Biplane. Where was that one?
That one was, I want to say, not Celtis, but... that one was closer to 41.
I feel like I was there also, but okay, so Biplane didn't make it.
The guys out in Cheney, we've lost. You know what? I'm super stoked that we haven't lost anyone so far.
Yeah.
During all of this stuff, but
right.
We haven't lost a ton since I've jumped on the train and been in the industry, so.
So yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's growing so rapidly. You have to wonder, I mean, I was asking this question 6-7 years ago to people, you know, when we were half the breweries we were at, and I'm like asking brewery owners, I'm like, do you think, is there a bubble? Is it going too fast? And you know, at the time it kind of seemed like it was like, where are you going to put them? Who's going to support them? And now it's like, they just keep going and they keep finding a way, you know?
Well, a lot of these guys, the cool thing about them is their main focus isn't so much on mass production and distribution. They're all mom and pop owner operator. So, you know, that's a saving grace, and you know, you keep your overhead low and
If you can become find a nice, some of these places that aren't, you know, we've got a lot downtown, like River City is in a really nice area in downtown Spokane, which is kind of growing for like a little brewery area, because, you know, Brick West and then the Steel Barrels over there, One Tree Hard Cider.
Yep. Iron Goat's right around the corner.
Iron Goat, yep. I feel like there was something else over
there. Steam Plant Whistle Punk.
Steam Plant Whistle Punk. Yeah, those ones. So, I mean, yeah. So you have got a lot of breweries just in that little area that you can kind of skip around if you want to just kind of, you know, I mean, nice to spend a Saturday day drunk and pass out in the park for the evening.
There you go. Oh, it's nothing abnormal.
Yeah. So it is interesting to see how quickly it grows and people support it. But you have these ones kind of outside that kind of find like a little neighborhood, and then they just kind of become like a pub in that area, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see people, you know, Spokane, it has these little pockets and neighborhood areas that sometimes people like, I don't want to go downtown. You know, I want to be able to go to my bar, but I do want a good beer. Mm-hmm. So they have, you know, they're able to do that, you know, in Liberty Lake now have a brewery. Is there one or two in Liberty Lake? Is there two breweries out there? Is it just the one?
There's a brewery and a cidery that are fully in operation. I do believe that I heard that there is going to be another brewery popping up over there.
Is Hidden Mother out there? Is that where?
So he started out in that area. He's actually, I mean, his tasting room is right there across from the Viking now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then his mass production is out of Selkirk Abbey in Post Falls.
Okay. So yeah, so geez, there's God. I forgot about Selkirk Abbey too. That's yeah. I mean, when you're looking at, instead of becoming just a production play, I mean, I think people have different thoughts about what they want to be, you know. And if you can, a lot of these places who may never be big in distribution, but can certainly maintain by just pumping it out of their tap room and are, you know, not in a huge space and can get a big, you know, just produce enough for that.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great, can I talk about it? I mean, that's, it's, sure, you might not be, you know, doing what No Lie is doing or some of these other people production wise, but you're also, you know, just kind of, you still have your lane that you're taking care of.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, I already know there's no money in my job. my job is to just keep the promotion of the business itself. Yeah. Essentially, you know, I keep kegs running out the door, but you know, all your main income's going to come from front of house stuff.
So yeah.
Your tap room hours and people buying pints.
So you were with Downdraft as a sales rep for them also?
Yeah.
And are there any differences being a sales rep from a brewery in Idaho as opposed to Washington State?
You know, Idaho is actually, we always joke about it. Mm. Idaho is the Wild West when it comes to beer, man. You can do a lot of things over in Idaho that you can't do in Washington State due to liquor laws and the LCB.
Like distribution wise or actual production wise?
I think with production wise, like certain ingredients and stuff that you add in, you have a little bit more freedom in Idaho.
Yeah.
Washington, you have to make sure there's a lot of hoops and approvals that you have to make sure you have. Unless you just kind of tiptoe around it.
Right. Just nobody asks, nobody knows. Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell type of thing.
Yep. You know, as a Washington brewery trying to distribute over in Idaho, because we have distribution over there, mm-hmm. We have to go through a distributor. We can't self-distro, because you'll get popped for that one.
Yeah.
And the same goes for Idaho over, well, Idaho over here, you have to have a certain form the bar has to fill out. And so it's hard, man. When you cross borders, a lot of places, they'll look at you and they'll apologize and say, sorry, man, I can't help you.
Right.
If you don't have a distributor, it's not really something I'm looking for right now.
Right.
It's extra work for me and pass.
Yeah, especially in a time when there's probably when there are so many breweries and it's, you know, not that it may not even be a product thing. They're just like, it's a little more headache and I've got enough to do running my bar. So, you know, trying to find it, you know. So, and that is one of the tough and interesting things for breweries in, you know, so for people who don't know, Spokane is, you know, 20 minutes from the Idaho border. Mm. And then, you know, another 15 minutes across there, you're in Coeur d'Alene. So, I mean, we're neighbors to Coeur d'Alene, which is, you know, a lot of big breweries in Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, North Idaho area. So there's so much crossover for people. I mean, you know, summertime, people from Spokane go to Coeur d'Alene for the lake. People from Coeur d'Alene come to Spokane for the nightlife. And so it's very easy to want to cross over, but it's, you know, it's when you're talking about moving product, it's got to be it's just a huge.
Really depends on who you got in your corner. You know, I was lucky enough that I lived over there for about 3 years. So I know quite a bit of people over there.
Yeah.
And so when I pop in with something and say, hey, you guys want to pick this up? It's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we'll do it. But yeah, I mean, you know, in Washington for events and stuff, which I mean, I coordinate a lot of the tap takeovers, the pint nights, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, Washington is a strict, you cannot hand out any sort of swag for free. So bars have to purchase it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So any, even like pint glasses and mm-hmm. things. Why is that?
I guess it's the LCB's way of controlling buying people. So you can't buy people with giving them free stuff for your product. Keeping the playing field, I guess, even.
Huh.
But, I mean, you can't even.
I mean, isn't that just advertising dollars,
right.
though? I
it
mean,
is.
Isn't it like, so, you know, you'd think that, like, you go to any sports bar and they have. You know, if it's like a Seahawks bar, like most places are around mm-hmm. here, unfortunately, there's like a schedule of Seahawks games,
right?
With like it, but it's a poster made by Budweiser with a Budweiser
right.
logo. You'd think that. I mean, does the bar have to buy that?
That I don't know. I'm assuming they're supposed to, but at the same time, you know what? Those are the big guys. So
sure, yeah.
I'm sure they don't mind a fine.
Yeah, that's probably true. They've got it. They've got, yeah, that's built into their advertising budget is fines from Washington State. I mean, Liquor Control Board.
Technically, man, I mean, it even comes down to stickers, technically.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to hand out stickers.
Without the brewer or without the venue buying them. That's so interesting. I mean, I would have, you know, I get that you're not supposed to give away alcohol as a prize or for free. That's,
right.
That's, you know, I kind of get that. Although still, like,
whatever. Here's a picture.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, but I mean, the stickers and pint glasses and things like that. It's like, that's such a innocuous. It's just like, it's, you know,
we already paid for it, man. Like we bought it. It's our choice to hand it out.
Right. So, I mean, how do you, I won't even ask that question in case I get, so I don't want to get anyone in trouble. I don't want you to have to perjure yourself under oath. Yeah. plead the fifth on these things. Sometimes they just show up and I don't know.
Yeah.
I assume we got paid. Someone got paid for something.
Miscounted inventory.
Right. Weird. I don't know. Anyway. How many locations, I mean, could you even say how many locations River City is in now?
Oh, man. I mean, my territory goes from central Washington east.
Okay.
So, I mean, at any given time, River City's probably being poured at, I don't know, 200 plus.
Okay. And do they still have heavy distribution as they're like Rosars and things like that?
No, we actually pulled out all of our package product. So our 22-ounce bottles and stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
We're not really doing that right now. We are canning, but we're selling all of our cans out of the tap room.
So you're not in any stores?
Not right now, nope.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like in... take this in the spirit it's intended. It's before you were there, so you don't care. Well, like I said, when I came in and River City was one of the kind of... They'd been around, you know, kind of long. Yeah, they had a couple years under them.
The OGs.
Yeah. And they compared to some of the newer breweries. You know, they'd, because there was a time when there weren't that many breweries. There were like five, and River City was one of them. So they were kind of one of the old guard. But I mean, I'll be honest. I found a lot of what they did, that like the vanilla bourbon stout, I love. Although I my one issue is almost everyone pours it on nitro, and I disdain nitro beers.
That's okay. Yeah,
that beer on CO2 is great. I don't like any beers on nitro personally. So that's my only. And then you know they had other good beers here and there, but I felt like it was kind of like, you know, they just weren't keeping up with everyone, like the ever changing in this people aggressively trying new things.
Oh yeah.
And they kind of fell to the wayside, which might have been why Gage kind of decided to step away. But in the last year or so, I definitely I see them kind of around more. I see people talking about them more. I see it popping up on social media more. So it seems like they're definitely kind of swinging the right direction, and maybe, you know, not that distribution in stores, but kind of a more personal distribution is.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We've all sat down and you know, that was one of the first things I said when I got hired on. I said, you know, things here are stagnant.
Yeah.
And you know, we're trying to fix the stigma, you know, that River City has, like, oh, they make great malty beers.
Yeah.
And all the River City Red, the
right.
Vanilla Bourbon.
Yeah.
We're working on, you know, some of our lighter end beers. You know, we have the Mexican Lager out now, the Odelé.
All right.
We've got the Experienced Pale Ale that is changing constantly. It's kind of a rotating series we're doing, but it's kind of a hazy pale, super light, awesome.
Okay.
And then we've got... the Kung Fu Death Monkey, which is our Imperial IPA, which is doing some cool stuff too.
Who named? How'd that one get named?
So Todd's a practicing jiu-jitsu wrestler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just kind of a name they came up with one day, and and they're like, okay, yeah, let's go with it.
And that's Todd Grove, yeah, right? Yeah, who's the head brewer now at
he's actually stepping away. He is kind of leaving the brewing side of things for a while. And Chris Anderson is actually stepping up.
Okay.
Who's been there pretty much since
long time.
River City's inception.
Yeah.
And then we recently hired on Remington, who formerly worked at Hidden Mother.
Okay.
And Remington's got a tremendous amount of experience because he formerly worked for Laughing Dog. And he's someone I'm really looking forward to watching take even some of our small batch stuff and doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's, as a sales rep, how much of a say or input do you get in creating new beers? I mean, obviously the brewers are kind of doing the ingredients, the recipes, but I mean, I assume they're asking you like, hey, what's selling out there? What are people asking for at these? A rye beer is super hot right now. Should we, or things like that?
This is now the third brewery I've worked for. And these guys, no offense to any of my past breweries, these guys have taken the most of what I've had to say.
Okay.
And these guys actually sit down and even though they have a head brewer position, they don't treat it that way. I have actually sat there and they've all sat in and they all build the recipes and it's a really cool group effort to see out of those guys. But they take everything that I have to heart and any information that I bring in from any sales trips, like, hey man, keep doing what you're doing with this pale ale. People are loving it.
Yeah.
Don't change it too much.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. What is there anything on the horizon we should be keeping our eyes out for?
So we've got a ton of barrels in the warehouse right now that we are about to start emptying. We're looking to do some really funky stuff, some sours and stuff that we're kicking out. We just released, we didn't really do a big promotion, but we did a mixed ferment sour that rested on 150 pounds of Washington peaches.
Oh wow!
It's called Peach Me Your Ways.
All right,
and these are like electrolyte beers, man. So it's only 3.2%.
Oh really? For sours can get up there pretty quickly. So mm-hmm. They're just not fermenting as long, or what are they?
We're just not shooting for a high gravity grain bill. So yeah. we're not trying to create these big boozy sours. We want something light, almost like an aperitif.
Sure.
Post-dinner sour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sour is one of my favorite styles of beer, if done right. They got really big a couple of years ago, and I used to go to the Puckerfest in Portland every year. And
Cascade and those guys.
Yeah, you get some really great ones, but then it got so popular, of course you get people, just throwing shit in there and, it's one of the beers that can be the most polarizing because you get a really good one, goddamn, it's good. But if you get a bad one, it can be
that's pretty bad.
Goddamn bad beer.
that's baby vomit. Oh, that is terrible.
So what are they using as the base? Are they creating a base or is it a base beer you already have you're using for the sour?
Some of the barrels are different. So we use the girlfriend, the golden ale base.
Pretty innocuous, yep. Easy to manipulate.
Yep. So that's what we did for the peach sour was the golden base and threw it in some barrels and let the natural lacto fermentation hang out in the barrels and get a little bit of oakiness in there. And that sat in that barrel for about a year. And then we pushed it into a bright tank on those peaches for 5 months.
Yeah.
We've got another one that we're experimenting with the red base.
Okay.
We're talking about trying to throw some cherries on it and actually make like some kind of funky creek with it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I really like the experimentation of when people are taking, again, like you said, the golden is generally something like that is what people take because it's, again, it's innocuous. There's no overpowering flavors. It's easy to kind of massage into whatever you want it to be. But when people successfully take, you know, a beer that's got more distinct tastes, you know, like the red, there was, God, I've had a couple in my, this one that, they took a brown and actually got with raspberries and got it to be like this tart raspberry chocolate, like kind of a more maltier brown, nuttier, malty brown. And then, God, it was so goddamn good, though. So that's, you know, those flavor profiles, when you can really get that in there, they end up being a little on the boozier side. But
hey, well, it depends on what kind of night you're in, man.
Yeah. So let's... I want to talk to, I like to talk to people in the brewing industry about their kind of particular types of beers.
Sure.
So what is your favorite, first of all, I want to know, what's your favorite cheap beer? Like cheap ass beer. Yeah.
Man, you know, I've always been kind of a PBR Rainier guy.
Okay, solid.
Yeah, I'm a Northwest kid, so
okay.
Give me a Rainier. Give me that Ranier.
Easy, yeah.
That fine Washington wine.
The,
yeah, I mean, I think the only cheap beer that I absolutely cannot do, unless I've already had a few.
Right.
Hams. Hams is the one that I can't really push on, man.
Hams is tough. Hams is real tough. Yeah, I do. Some PBR and Rainier is pretty easy. All that cheap beer kind of goes down, usually pretty simple.
Yep.
What is your favorite local craft beer outside of something
at River City? River City. Man, you know, that's really tough. So Whistle Punk has been consistently putting out solid beer. You know, and the new guys on the block, Brick West, have been doing some amazing pilsners and lagers.
Okay.
Definitely on the light side. They're killing it. You know, if you want some cool kind of off the wall, different beers, you know, the Bellwether guys are always solid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those kind of old style, you know?
Yep. And I mean, I'm just going to keep rattling off.
Yeah.
Here, but, you know, the guys at Mountain Lakes are doing cool stuff too here and there.
Yeah. They do some really interesting Dave and, what's the other guy's name?
Tim.
Yeah, they do some really interesting stuff there. Do you have a favorite brewery outside of River City in town?
Ooh. Man. I mean, it's a toss-up, man. It's all about going around to all these joints.
Yeah.
I don't have one that I typically flock to in particular. Everyone's, you know, kind of pulling their own weight.
Yeah, and it's nice, like what you said, where different breweries are starting to take on personalities of what they do and what they're good at also. You know, like the aforementioned Selkirk earlier, who does very distinct...
the Belgian beers. Yeah,
Belgian style. So, like, you know, it's nice to find places who, you know, you got to have kind of that variety across the board, but also, you know, people really hone in on what they're good at or what they like to make.
Yep.
And find a good lane. Style wise, what's your favorite style of beer?
Ooh, you know, right now, cause I am always changing, but right now it's going to be on the lighter side, the pilsners and lagers. Sure. When I first started drinking craft, it was because of my mom, actually. She threatened me
to drink good beer.
Yeah. She's like, I know what you did in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't do anything. Don't bullshit me.
Yeah.
Okay. So she says, now you can buy the good shit. And that's what I want to see.
Sure.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
one of the first beers that I ever bought was a 6-pack of Deschutes Black Butte Porter.
Great. Solid. Yeah.
So I started off with porters and stouts.
Yeah.
And kind of evolved into IPAs because at first I was like, hey, these taste like fucking dandelions.
Sure.
I don't want this. And, you know, throughout that, so then it's IPAs for a while. And I worked for Post Falls Brewing Company, and those guys have always kicked out solid IPAs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of started dipping into sours, and especially a lot of those barrel-aged sours, it really gets some funk and
right, yeah,
and some really odd flavors. And then it's kind of come back around to me drinking light beers.
But good, expensive yeah. ones. This is just expensive hands.
Well, you just kind of got to look at it and be like, you know what? I know how much it takes to make this.
Right, yeah.
$8 pilsner, my ass, man.
Right, better be in that fancy glass.
I'm looking at some of you guys right now.
Yeah, it's well worth it. Support your local business.
That's right.
Especially right now. Yeah, it is nice to see there's so many, the way people are, you know, playing with things again. Actually, it's funny you say that. Blackview Porter was one of the first craft beers that really got me into craft beer also. There's a chain of, pizza brewery places in the Southwest. Actually, there's one in Tacoma also called BJ's.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I used to frequent there. I'm from LA and I used to frequent their, place. There was one by my house and I would drink their Nutty Brunette, which was like mm-hmm. a nut brown beer, which is still to this day one of my favorite styles of beer. Just that style, not necessarily theirs,
yeah.
but that's a great for
yeah,
me.
Good nut brown.
Yeah,
for sure.
So that brown to porter, some stout. I mean, I like stouts as long as they're more not too creamy. That's kind of was, you know,
oh,
sweet
yeah.
spot. For me, I can get all over the board, you know, a good red. I think reds are an underrated style if done properly, well balanced. A lot
sure,
of
sure.
people, it just kind of ends up being a red IPA. So right. you're like, all right, so you great, you know, made a super hoppy red IPA, yep. you know. I think a lot of breweries fall into that, though, where you're like, all right, so your pales, your goldens and your reds are all going to be basically an IPA. Yeah, you know, so they're just a little different colors. Then there's your IPAs. Yep. Then you make four IPAs and then you might have like this porter. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I like, you know, that people are really, experimenting with these other flavor profiles and stuff.
Well,
now.
Honestly, I mean, that is where the market is going now, man. And that's one thing that we've all discussed actually at River City is that, you know, having seven core beers that you do year round is nice, but what's bringing people into your tap room are these off the wall
yeah,
one-offs.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, this yeah. is something that it's not going to happen again. So get it while you can.
Right. Well, not only that, but like, I mean, if when I was huge on craft beer and like, I mean, I do stand up comedy for a living. So I was traveling a lot. Literally the first thing I'd do when I was going to a new area is I'd look up, I'm like, what are the breweries? And I'd look at their menus and I'd look at what they had.
Yep.
And you know, I'm like, where am I going to go? And what am I going to explore? And to me it was, yeah, it's that's something a couple breweries around the area kind of fall into. It's like, yeah, dude, they've got like five beers that are like solid. They're never changing. They're always fine. They're always good. You know, they're always going to be exactly the same, but like I never go in and I'm never see something interesting on the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was going out a lot. I really like Black Label Brewing. And especially when they first started, man, they were cranking out a lot of like really interesting stuff. And I mean, I'd go there a couple times a week and there was always something.
Oh yeah. Josh
new.
And those guys are still doing some rad stuff over there.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm like, I know, like, I love your porter. I love a couple of your beers are solid for me, but like also I'll come in and you've got this, you know, honey cucumber beer. And I'm like,
right.
fucking, I don't know. I want to try that now. That sounds great, man. Just the idea that, I mean, and I think people are so open. Craft beer people are so open to like the idea of almost anything. I mean, there's like literally nothing on off the table that you can. I think when Rogue decided to make a beer with a guy's beard yeast,
oh yeah,
that beard beer. I think after yeah. that it was like fucking all bet you
yeah.
can put anything in a
anything,
fucking beer,
dude.
There's no
anything, fucking peanut butter
yeah.
jelly. You got it
right. Yeah, old Nick the janitor. We put his toenails in there. I want that toenail beer. We only made seven. I'll what give you $100 for that.
This is a small batch yeah. of mop water.
Yeah. Well, oh damn! God damn it! I gotta have some. Yeah, it's been in the fermenter for nine months. It could strip industrial paint off
That's
off
right.
a runway. So, yeah, it has gotten crazy, but in a good way. You
yeah.
know. What's one of the craziest beers you think you've seen out there?
Man, you know what? I think one of the weirdest off the wall beers was probably. I saw a beer. I haven't tried it, but it was a beer that used the yeast extracted from a female.
Oh, well, was that a brewery out of San Diego or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was down SoCal.
Yeah, I remember that. how was it?
Oh no, I didn't try that.
Oh,
one.
You didn't try?
No,
you
no, that was the weirdest one I've ever seen. Tried, man. I mean. I think the weirdest one I ever tried was, and I didn't really enjoy it, but it was the Sriracha Ale.
Oh, okay.
That Rogue did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I haven't had, I mean, we can do cilantro, lime, yeah. You know, all sorts of stuff, but I guess that doesn't seem too off the wall for me.
Sure.
You dump a shitload of hot sauce in a beer and I'm kind of like.
Yeah, okay.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. I you know, with the yeast from M'lady, I would have some follow-up questions before I drank this beer.
For sure.
I'd be like, first of all, what time of the month are we talking here?
Was she tested?
When was this yeast taken? When was her last STD screening before this yeast?
Nope, all the pertinent questions.
I need to know more. Yeah, I gotta know. Was she a virgin? Was this
was this just some lady we picked up at a truck stop?
Right.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
She been like wearing leather pants, riding a camel through the desert for the last 8 months? Because that's gotta be yeasty.
Ooh, sweaty.
Yeah, we're building up that yeast the best we can. There's only one way to do it. And that's naturally.
This is our sourdough ale.
Yeah, this is organically farmed yeast. Locally sourced from I would have follow-up questions. I need to know where it's coming from before I'm drinking that. How is River City handling this COVID thing? I mean, because in Washington State, you know, for people outside of Spokane, who are listening, I'm sure you have COVID too. It's been especially bad in Washington State, it turns out. And I feel like we may be going backwards.
I know. I was just about ready to come back to work too.
Really? And you're like, nah. Like, how? Because I know the tap room's been open.
Yeah.
How has this, you know, you guys been handling it down there?
Well, I mean, you know, I kind of knew right off the bat that my position was just kind of going to be put on hold for a while.
Yeah.
You know, until the bars and restaurants are, you know, we were looking at finally releasing me into the wild. You know, we slowed production down and, you know, there was about a month or so that my brewers were just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
And just kind of coming in and checking on things. We had some beer that were hanging out in tanks, but they were fine. Everything was cold conditioned, so everything's okay as long as it sits, you know, at least
right.
for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
But since then, you know, the last 2 weeks started brewing a little bit again, and our distributors have put in orders for pickups, and everything is going in the right direction until we decide apparently to jump back to phase one, which fingers crossed it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks bad.
Yeah, I know.
I hope not. Cause I think a lot of people, I think it'll be a revolt. Cause I think half the people can't afford to, you know, not be open. And then also I think people are just going so crazy that they're just gonna fuck it.
Yeah,
just be
exactly
open,
yeah
know?
Yeah. Other than you know, my hopes and dreams of coming back to work, and I learned that they're just that, hopes and dreams.
Yeah. So you've been had some free time then the last few months.
Absolutely. My hands are calloused.
Yeah. That bad, huh? Yeah, because you got high speed internet. Yeah. Man, is there anything during this time, and what have you been doing during this time to stay busy then? I mean, that's got to take up a lot of time.
Chris and I actually have gotten together a couple of times, and we've borrowed a still.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took some of the old beer that we had and stilled it down and kind of did some experimenting and
okay.
doing some, Doing some beer shine.
Okay.
I've done a lot as far as fermenting foods and stuff. So pickling, making sauerkrauts, kimchi, all sorts of funky stuff.
All right.
Started a garden.
Wow, okay.
Domesticated the fuck out of myself, man. Yeah, you know, I got a dog too, so, you know, keeping the dog active.
Yeah.
You know.
Is there anything that you've rediscovered during this time, like that you used to do that you're like, oh, I forgot, now I have time to do this again, I enjoy this?
Besides myself?
Yeah. Light a candle for yourself, take a bubble bath, yeah, treat yourself, exactly. Man, you're worth it.
Thanks. Wow, man, this is a really uplifting show.
Yeah, I do my best.
You know, I was a musician for a long time. And so I started playing a little bit more.
Okay.
Was actually on the verge of starting to jam with some people before everything hit.
Yeah.
So I was in a couple of bands in my early 20s, late teens, and then moved out to Idaho and pretty much stopped playing.
Yeah. Because where are you from originally? Seattle area? Or where
just outside of Tacoma.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from the Puyallup area.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, man, and so, you know, getting back into that groove of playing guitar again and kind of building up those calluses.
Get that. Different ones?
Yeah, different ones.
So you play guitar? What kind of music do you play?
So I started off playing heavy metal.
Okay.
And then moved into, the last act I was in was actually a live hip-hop act.
Interesting. All right.
It was a full band, and we were all actually members of the metal band before.
Okay.
We were approached by a hip-hop artist, and he's like, hey, man, I need a live band to take over and do my album release party. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Man? We're going to have to turn around and take all this music you made on a keyboard? All right. So we did, and we ended up playing with that guy for, fuck, like 4 years or so. And we traveled up and down the West Coast and did shows and had a good time. Opened up for George Clinton and P-Funk.
Damn.
That was fun.
Man. Yeah. Stan the Guitar Man.
Yeah.
Do you remember Stan the Guitar
Yes,
Man?
Yes, I do.
From like early ECE and stuff like that?
Yep, yep.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, so that I was going to say, so I grew up in L.A. in the 80s, and I grew up on old school hip-hop like that. And I would say, like, hip-hop with a live band is like another level, man.
It's different.
It's great.
So different. Yeah.
It's so great, especially if you got a band that rocks. You know, get a good guitarist, a great bass player. I mean, you get that real live bass.
Yeah.
With a kick drum in the back. I mean, God, that can be a whole different show.
Yep, it was cool, man. We even had a DJ that had, you know, his stuff going on too while we're playing. And yeah, we just, all these different elements. It was fun. It was fun. You know, definitely... We were definitely a little more on the hardcore metal side, so we were playing these shows, and we were like trying not to rough it up too much, you know.
A little different genre, but that's, yeah. What was it like opening for George Clinton? Did you get to meet him?
Yeah, yeah. So George Clinton,
how high did you get being near him? Dude, I can't pass a drug test now by proxy through you, through him.
I don't think I could. I didn't drive home that night. We roll up to the Neptune Theater in Seattle and see the tour bus. And I'm already like super stoked because we're doing this. And I'm such a sweet boy. My mother was my plus one.
Very nice, very nice.
Mommy rode with me to the concert. So she's sitting in the passenger seat and I'm unloading my gear. And George steps off the bus, and he's standing right there. And I'm like, hey, hey, that's George. And she like, doesn't look up from her phone. She goes, I know.
Yeah, play it cool. Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a fucking rookie, dude. Like, oh. But he comes out, and he's just taking hits off his vape pen, man,
right.
Having a good time. And you know, we get in there, and... It finally hit us when we were doing sound check, you know, looking at everything.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was empty, but, you know, we're like, holy hell, dude, like, this is insane.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to take stage, and It was just to see, you know, especially it's the theater, so there's two tiers to it.
Right.
And to see just a sea of bodies. I mean, that was probably the biggest moment in my musical career.
Yeah.
And if I could call it that. And, you know, we get to sit backstage and watch the show from the side of the stage. And, I mean, his shows are absolutely insane because, you know, it's like 30 fucking people in there.
Right.
Man.
Yeah.
So... I remember there's a dude running around with a fuzzy cowboy hat and fuzzy chaps, and he's up there just like shimmying and grinding, and I'm like,
it's got to be a whole experience. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
more than just a concert. That's like a production.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you're sober, you just don't get it.
Oh sure, yeah. Like, dude, you gotta do more drugs. The Neptune's a great theater too. That's an awesome.
Yeah.
That's quite.
Yeah,
so.
I was literally standing in that theater 2 years prior watching bands.
And when was this?
This was April 2018, I think.
Oh, God, that's not even that long ago.
Yeah.
I was going to say George Clinton is one of the guys that was like fucking gun to my head, dead or alive. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Robert Duvall or something. I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe. Like, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, for sure could be. For sure couldn't be. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's really hard to tell him apart from normal people now because he shaved his, like, you know, rainbow dreads off.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he had always had multicolored dreads.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he just looks like some old guy.
Just those future glasses still all the time, like the Terminator.
He's like wearing a pinstripe fucking suit and a bowler hat. And
oh, like, yeah. Yeah. You're like, dude, come on. You got to give me a clue.
Yeah,
like, I don't know who you are now.
I'm not 100% on this guy.
That's a great guy. What a fucking, what an experience, though. George Clinton, man. So music, I mean, yeah. Now you're trying to get music going again.
Yeah, I definitely want to start playing again, man. I miss it.
We can ever do live anything again,
I'm gonna have to fucking Skype band practice everyone.
Right? Yeah. It is interesting that, I mean, yeah, this whole thing for anything live and anything interactive. I mean, God, you just where they wouldn't even. I mean, they were shutting down people who are doing karaoke and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't get. You know, I snuck one show in almost 2 weeks ago that we weren't even supposed to do. Like one live comedy show that we weren't even supposed to do. But I'm like, fuck it. It'll be over by the time anyone finds out.
Right.
So we got it. You know. But I mean. It's, you know, you start doing it regularly again, I think we're gonna, it definitely start, you know, people would find out. And it's, so yeah, I mean, how do you know, music's like, yeah, I want to do music, but who knows when that
yeah.
comes.
Oh, it's literally, that's the conversation in the text group. Like, hey, yeah. Matt, yeah, I really want to do music. Too bad this is going on. We're just dick teasing everyone right now. It's like, hey. It's there.
One day. So when this is all over, are you getting the band together then?
Yeah, I would definitely, one of my buddies has been finishing his basement specifically to start jamming
at
his place. And yeah, I've just been sitting there practicing.
One day, yeah, just waiting. Do you guys have a band name already?
Oh, no.
Nothing like that?
No, and I think he's got much lower expectations. He's like, oh, well, we don't know. We'll see. And I said, oh, no, this is going to happen.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not fucking around.
Then you can travel and do sell beer during the day and play music.
Exactly.
At night.
Exactly. Got plenty of venues I could work.
That's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So I think we started down this road. But for River City, I mean, I assume they're just waiting to kind of see what happens for any summer events, things like that. Is the beer festival at Avista canceled, or is it tentatively happening?
Tentatively, it's supposedly still happening, but you know, we don't know. We really don't know. I mean, they postponed the Washington Brewery Awards that happen in Redmond every year.
Mm-hmm.
They postponed that to September, but I mean. At this rate, I don't know if that's going to happen either.
Yeah.
So
no events happening. Tap room is open.
Yep.
So you can go get beer, have a beer there, get beer to go.
Yep.
But nothing.
Yeah, no concerts or anything planned right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, all right. Well, shout out where people can find the social media, follow, and everything like that.
Everything's so you've got River City Brewing Spokane on Facebook. The same goes for Instagram. I believe it's RCB Spokane.
Okay.
And then we have from Facebook and stuff. You have the links to our website online. And such. So
perfect. We'll go check them out. My buddy Isaac's down there, Tenon Bar sometimes. Shout out to Isaac. So go say hi to him too. Get some beer. Get it to go. Support your local businesses and keep an eye out for any events coming up. Because as soon as this clears out, people are going to want to get drunk. People are going to want to see music. And just remember, guys. I mean, important is like, I know we're all, everyone's kind of in their social distancing shells or worried about money, but everyone is tight right now. So just like once a week, go support a local business. Just take, buy dinner, have drinks somewhere, something. It's just a couple extra bucks a week, but it makes a huge difference.
Definitely.
To those businesses. That way we all, because ideally then someone's coming to support your business also. So just keep that in mind as we all move forward in this crazy, fucking whatever the hell this fucking shit year has been. It's fucking July 1st, man.
I know. You know, I had big plans for my 30th this year, and yeah? Now I'm just hoping to, you know, make it to my 30th.
To live for to that long. I know. There were like, I mean, it's insane the things that have happened. The funny thing is, like, I was looking at like this year, right? Like, you know, just writing some comedy stuff and looking at this year, and this year started with Australia burning to the ground, basically.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a continent anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it's gone.
It's a big charcoal mark on the
right,
map.
Right, it's nothing. Yeah. That's how we lost Atlantis. and like, that seems like 2 years ago. That's how this year started.
Yep.
And then it got worse.
You'd think, like, that was an omen.
They're burning down Australia. Like, but to be fair, everything in Australia is trying to kill you anyway.
Yeah.
So like when the land is like now, not even the animals and the things there, it's like, no, now just the land is trying to kill you.
Yep.
Like it's, you know, just all right.
Yeah.
We got it. It's burning down. I mean, we are officially halfway through this year. And I feels like, you know, nothing's been accomplished. The only thing we found out is that, like, you can trick a guy into sucking a dick through meth and tigers.
Yeah.
Like, we learned that.
I learned so much about myself from that show.
So you watched it,
I did. And I'm just a couple of kitty pets away.
We all are. Admit it. Come on. A cool tiger. Like, I never pet a tiger before.
That's
right. You're right.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it could be like a cool house cat, and I'd be like, maybe.
Yeah. Is that a tabby?
Yeah. What do you got there? Half man coon? All right. Well, you gonna let me hold it afterwards? The cat. Do you think that would have got the popularity it did if it wasn't like, right? Because it feels like that was something that Netflix was just like, they knew ahead of time about the quarantine, and then like quarantine, and they're like, release the tiger.
Yeah. We're going to push this shit out on them.
And everyone's like, this is, you know.
I feel like it probably would have got swept a little bit more under the rug.
Sure.
I think if it wasn't for this crazy quarantine. You know, it's funny, man. I don't tell a lot of people this, but I guess I'm telling a lot of people this.
Yeah.
I do have some Trailer Trash family, and wow, was that a family reunion watching that show.
Uncle Ricky?
Yeah.
it is funny how you see these nutty people, and like, the crazy thing to me is how all these people were so like, they all were friends, or not friends, but they in the same world. I'm like, they're so fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Every time you thought it couldn't get crazier, you're
that
like,
shit was normal to them.
Right. Like, it's getting crazier. It is funny, because I was talking to someone about that. We're talking about other documentaries and things, like, you know, on Netflix recently. And someone reminded me of the one, which wasn't that long ago, the guy who was like Mormon and convinced, was like, and like molested the kids, then convinced the guy, the husband, to bang him, and he banged the wife.
Oh yeah.
Remember that was like big, and like we all forgot about it. And I'm like, is that how fast these fucking like crazy documentaries are coming out? We're like,
yeah,
Mormon bangs a family. Okay, cool, gone. Tiger King. Okay, cool. Gone. F scene. Fucking Sex Island. Gone. And we're like, what?
Yeah. 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 And then, and I mean, it's just some of this shit just gets so, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, sure. We're like, yeah, fucking.
We're so numb.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. I've seen that shit. Yeah.
Aliens? Oh, neat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right? We're like, yeah, sure, UFOs. Yeah, whatever. We're like, it is, I think that's part of human nature, though, is like we are so enamored if we think someone's lying to us or we don't know. Once we know, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I think if we found Bigfoot, someone would put it on Twitter and it would get some likes, and then we'd be like, what a Bigfoot, whatever.
We knew it all.
Cool.
Along.
Yeah. I saw him back in 83. It would just be, we just are so, we're so jaded. We're so fucking jaded with everything.
Yep.
We don't care. It's like when Lance Bass, when he didn't admit when everyone thought he was gay.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not gay. And we're like, yeah, you are. We don't care. We just want to know.
Yeah.
But as soon as he's like, okay, I'm gay, we're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Like we just needed to know.
We just wanted you to say yes.
We just have to hear it. Stop. We knew
it. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. Just come out with it. Speaking of this, all right, speaking of what's been going on, we've got a couple new, we're going to get into the news, talk about a couple things that have been going on for you. Let's see, get up my official intro here.
Broadcasting live from the news mecca, Spokane, Washington, to our affiliates all over the world, this is the Social Hour News.
All right, in the news, lead story this evening. In addition to everything else that's been killing us, we've had COVID, murder hornets, 5G, earthquakes, aliens, comets, some fucking crazy dust plume from the Sahara's coming over, super calderas, the sun's dying. Now, in Botswana, they have found the more than 350 elephants in Botswana have just died.
Jesus.
No explanation. No one knows why. But just 350 elephants in northern Botswana have all just collapsed dead. And I feel like this is a bad sign, right?
Dude, you know how much it takes to kill an elephant? Yeah, we had to make a gun for it.
There's literally a saying, like, enough to kill an elephant. Yeah. We made that into a saying. Yeah, it's a specific gun for an elephant. You know, they don't have a gun for a rhino.
No.
They don't have a gun for a sperm whale.
Yeah.
They, like, literally only an elephant has a specific gun.
Yep.
So
wow,
that is really says a lot that they're just keeling over dead. And I want, I'm wondering if elephants are pretty smart. I think my theory is that they know something's coming and they're offing themselves.
just a mass elephant suicide.
Just going out and being like, I don't need this shit.
I'm not going that way.
Yeah. They know that comet's coming. But I mean, when 350 elephants just drop dead, you have to wonder what the hell is going on. They haven't had a chance to test them because everything's so backed up with coronavirus. But I mean, it seems like more and more as this year goes on, the earth is just imploding on itself.
Yep.
And we've finally hit, like, we've hit our capacity of what this earth can handle. And just everything is being thrown at us in one year.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just trying to, I mean, elephants, man. I want everyone to say it back slowly. Elephants.
Yeah.
collapsing.
Just dying.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it seems like if someone started telling you 10 years ago, if someone took you and started telling you the list of things that happened in the 6 months in 2020, you would be like, that's crazy. That's crazy. And then now we're just like, what's next? It almost seems like, we're in a sitcom and it's season 7 and they've already had everyone fall in love with everyone. You know, they brought in young cousin Alfie to fucking spice it up.
Yep.
You know, they have nothing left. Like, we don't know what to write about anymore.
Well, Kill them all off.
Maybe if we kill a bunch of elephants.
Who pissed off the writers, man? Yeah.
Like, what we'll do is we'll this gay guy has tigers, right? And then there's this pandemic, and then the gay guy with the tigers gets the virus, and then we'll do some stunt cast. We'll have Donald Trump be president. It'll be wacky. I was like, I guess, man, it's happening too quickly. In addition to the elephants, the scientists also fear that they found a new swine flu.
Yeah,
that could be a pandemic. On the verge of being a pandemic soon also.
Hooray. Hooray. I feel bad because the last one I used as an excuse to not show up to work for a while.
Oh, man. Did you actually have it?
I was like 17 and just didn't want to
Just didn't want to go to work.
I hated my job. I sold TVs at Sears.
Oh, man. God. That's like an antiquated statement. I sold TVs at Sears.
That's like
I need change for the payphone.
I remember walking back in, and they're like, "You shouldn't have burned this bridge." And I go, "Okay,
yeah,
that store actually that I worked at no longer exists."
I don't know if any Sears exists anymore. I think they all just got evaporated.
I shouldn't have burned that bridge, man.
Yeah, Sears. Yeah, really, Sears on the up and up. You just got bought out by Kmart. You know your business in the shitter when Kmart's doing better than you,
right? Like,
Kmart shouldn't be anyone's parent company.
Yep, and that was when Sears brought on when they changed their colors and had the whole the blue specials and that's a Kmart move.
Oh yeah, yeah, the blue light special. I remember as a kid. See, I'm a little older than you. I'm 37. And I remember this fucking shitty Kmart in the hood we used to go to by my house when I was a kid. And they'd be like, the way the blue light specials worked is they were different back then. They literally people would literally like meander around the store and just kind of like pacing and waiting. Then someone come on like, "Attention Kmart shoppers, blue light special on aisle 7, David Hasselhoff sandals for $3.
And
everyone's like, oh shit, the Hoff. They'd be running over and they put out this basket and it's like, you know, it's like Black Friday. Everyone just tears just through them. Like, yeah, get one for cousin Ricky. And then
these ones don't even fit. Still going to take them though.
Yeah, these ones are mismatched. That's all right. You have weird short toes on your left foot anyway. Like, it was so crazy.
It was terrible, man. It was a store that I loathed going with my parents to, and then that ended up being my first job.
Yeah. What a circle of life.
I'm apparently not a big fan of myself.
Yeah, but just keep it.
But yeah, the swine flu, I use that as an excuse to not go to work ever again.
Man, you're going to have like, that's bad. That's bad karma.
I know. And that's why I'm paying for it now, because I can't work and I want to.
Right? Yeah, you've got this job you'd love to go to, huh? You burn that bridge. You'd be selling TVs. Who's bought a TV anywhere but Amazon in the last 3 years?
Dude, it was terrible. It was a horrible job for a 16-year-old because I was a party guy in high school.
Sure.
So I'd show up to work hungover and, you know, only the elderly shopped at Sears.
Yeah.
I've got like this 7-year-old woman asking me about this 32-inch TV. What do you think of this one? And I'm hunched over the shelf, like
shaking and sweating.
Yeah, yeah, just like, fucking buy it, please. It fucking works fine.
Yeah, it's a TV.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, what about the sound? You're going to need a sound bar anyways because you can't hear shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Oh, man, this was 12, 13 years ago.
So that was like, flat panels were already a thing. There were no rear projection TVs anymore.
Oh, there were still some.
Some, okay.
Yeah, we still had some of those. But yeah, it was all about the flat panels. And yeah, it was. I remember that very, very weekend that old lady came in because we had like corporate reps in town. And they're like, "All right, electronics, we want everything cranked up to 11. And I'm like, fuck this place. I'm not doing that. I'm not. I don't want fucking Happy Feet to blare across the fucking store.
Yeah, 10 versions of it. Oh, yeah, synced up like I'm going through this fucking mushroom nightmare. Did you work there when there was a short window of time. I don't know if people really remember this. I had kind of forgotten about it, and it hit my memories again recently. When, like, there were like 3D TVs that was like big for a minute. They were pushing these TVs. They were kind of curved and they were 3D.
Yeah.
That kind of was like, this is going to be hot. And then it just kind of, it was like Laserdisc. It just went away.
Yep. Yeah. Beta. Yeah. Laserdisc.
Well, yeah. Like, what? Do you know what happened? I mean, were you around when that was, those were being sold? I mean, or was that after your time?
I know that I didn't end up selling any.
No. Did you, did they have them?
Yeah. We had a couple of the curved TVs and stuff. And the, you know, they were the, I mean, at the time it was big, the 120 Hertz, you know, motion, four motion TVs. And, and everyone's like, oh, this is where it's going to be. And I'm like, not at that price tag. $3,500 for that fucking thing? Nope.
Yeah, that's true.
And I look now, and I think I was at Costco the other day, and like an 85-inch TV for $1,800. It's, I just, see?
Yo, dude, it's, you go to, like, you can get TVs. They're like, ostensibly free now.
Yeah, right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're like earbuds. You just get them for free anywhere now.
You want a TV, kid?
Yeah. Nah. Like, I got a couple at home. Like, I don't know. I don't have space for another one. It's yeah, it's one of those things that like the technology just got so much better and they got so much cheaper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
When like plasmas were a thing and they were super expensive and then you know the LCDs.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's just so I mean, you get like a 40-inch TV for like $299. It's like, all right, great.
Perfect.
Yeah, if it works for 5 years, I'll throw it away.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
I'll give some kid radiation poisoning, and then I'll buy another one. What do I care? Yeah, the it is weird. Yeah, I wonder, it must have been cost, they must have just been cost prohibitive, the 3D ones, why they just didn't take off the way they thought.
I mean, and I'm imagining, like, you had to have that set in the perfect spot in your living room.
Sure.
And everyone, I'm assuming when they built this, you know, they're looking at a general, you know, placement of everything in people's living rooms, and that's not how it works.
Yeah. So. Especially for the size, they were pretty big.
Yeah.
Like also, you have to have glasses for everyone. It's like you have a couple people come over. If you don't have glasses, then you're just looking at a blurry TV.
No way, dude.
Like,
just give them the cheap cereal box ones that you fucking got when I was a kid.
Right.
The blue and red lenses.
Right? This definitely works. Don't worry.
This doesn't help at all. Everything's just fucked up in red and blue.
I just see weird colors. all right. And also, in the news, one of my favorite stories I saw and was Sacha Baron Cohen recently visited in our great state of Washington over in the capital of Olympia. He visited a 3%, I guess they called it a 3%er meeting, or what do they call it? Gathering. They're basically a constitutionalist group. They're white nationalists.
Yeah.
They're fucking racists. Whatever they want to call themselves.
That shit was funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've got the, let's see. I wanted to play this here. What is amazing is what I love about this is how quickly he's able to expose who people really are.
Oh, dude. You know, I think the thing that cracks me up, and this is a term that I absolutely fucking hate, and I never want to hear again after all this shit's done and over, but it was great to see how much people are like, sheeple.
Yo, well, yeah. That.
And that's the same group that uses the term sheeple.
Right, and they just all fall in line, instantly, literally chanting along with a song they've never heard before, but they picked up the words pretty quick.
Yeah, inject them with the Wuhan flu.
Sacha Baron Cohen is out there doing the Lord's work. I mean, this guy is just subversively, he has used his ability to, again, like, he's like sodium pentothal, just like truth serum, where just completely disarms people and they want to just be exactly who they are.
Yep. They're comfortable. Yeah.
And like that, what was the show on Showtime? Was it Who is America or We Are America?
Yeah.
The something like that. But he's, I was showing someone a clip of it after, because this inspired me to watch some of his movies last night. And then they'd never seen his movies. So then I'm showing him clips from that show. And did you ever watch that show?
I'd seen a couple episodes, yeah.
There's this great moment where he's trying to talk this senator about gun control and how they want to teach kids as young as like kindergarten about using guns. So he created this gun with like a fake bunny rabbit on it, called a Gunny Rabbit. Getting kids used. And it's just so quickly these guys like, yeah, that's a great idea.
You relate to the kids.
You really know how to get through to them. They'll feel much safer when they're dying in mass numbers at schools.
Like, don't worry, it was Gunny Rabbit.
Yeah,
I upset him.
Yeah, Gunny Rabbit. It was my fault. Yeah, I shouldn't have questioned him. God,
the other thing I've seen is I've seen, you know, some people over social media and stuff that have jumped on the I can't believe Sasha and this is ridiculous and that's not cool, and like, you're the same people that laughed at Borat.
Yeah,
and, I mean,
here's the thing is, like, the only reason you would not be okay with this is if it's exposing something about yourself,
right?
Like, that's kind of my thing. So like, I've always said, like, if the shoe doesn't fit, you don't ever have to wear it.
Yeah.
Like, so don't worry. Who cares how it looks?
It's fine.
But if you feel like it's stepping on your toes, there's probably a reason for that. You know, you probably have some feelings regarding
it. That's all right. Yeah. You let it out, bud.
Yeah. like, listen, I'm Mexican. When people say stereotypes about Mexicans that don't apply to me, it doesn't make me feel bad and it doesn't hurt my feelings. So I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter to me. That's a zero to me. I don't care. Like, yeah, it doesn't relate. I don't know. If they say something like, starts to like get me, I'm like, oh, maybe there's some truth to that one. Okay, god damn it. I don't know how you could be mad about what he's doing unless he got you. Yeah, I guess if he got you and you feel dumb, but that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, you did something
really, absolutely
really dumb.
Yep.
I do love it, and I hope the thing is too, though, we've gotten into a time when it's so easy because, like, A, people do no research, and people are so quick to want to be a part of something, mm-hmm. and like get, you know, if something's, you know, anything active or be on TV or be filmed, so that they'll basically just throw caution to the wind and like,
oh yeah,
yeah, let's just go for it. This sounds great.
I especially love the people that share satirical articles not knowing that they're satirical.
Oh, yeah.
And going, I believe this 100%. Man. Yeah. Read the rest of the article, man.
Right.
You just read the headline.
Yeah, you read the headline, didn't actually. Or like the ones like, your article, like, I don't know what .zlj is, but I don't think that's a real domain, man. I think you should probably pick a better news source.
Yep.
So
yeah, a lot of that stuff popping up.
We've been talking about this a lot on this show recently, is that people don't necessarily want the news correctly. They want the news now. So like, it doesn't have to be what's accurate, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, what it just has to be now. And it's like, this is what we think we know at the moment. We're going to throw it out there and then never bother to circle back and correct anything.
Yep. People are accepting what they want to hear.
Yeah. So it just, you know, these facts get skewed and things that people, you know, I mean, so like one thing comes out and then just like you go back and look at it later, like, oh, that wasn't even close to what the fuck actually happened. Okay. It turns out, but in everyone's head, it's been cemented that that's the story now. No. Yeah. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen, please keep doing what you're doing. It entertains me.
It was so great. Especially when he double backed as the cameraman in a different disguise. Yeah,
it really is great the way he's able to do that. All right, let's see how much. Okay, let's. I'll save that story for next week. We will. Let's get into the rundown. The rundown is a series of questions. Like I said earlier, individually don't mean anything, but when you add them up, they start to just paint kind of a tapestry of someone as a whole. So
okay, you're gonna make me look like shit.
They're very simple questions. No big, nothing too big. We'll start with an easy one.
Okay,
pizza. Everyone likes pizza, right?
Yeah.
If you could have one pizza, any toppings on it you wanted, not necessarily from a particular location or restaurant, just toppings. You can have any toppings you want, but now that's the only pizza you can have for the rest of your life, so you can't have any other toppings but those.
Okay.
Locked into that pizza forever. What are those toppings?
Ooh, so... You know what? Honestly, I think I got this one nailed down pretty easy.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's going to be pepperoni, sausage, olives, mushrooms.
All right, that's a pretty solid that's a pretty solid pizza.
Just
yeah.
Like an old school pizza. Like.
Yeah. The olives is a great call on pizza. I think olives doesn't get enough. Olives and like I could just do olives and sausage. Like that's a great pizza. You know, pepperoni's classic, but people don't give sausage or olives enough due.
They don't.
On their pizza.
They really don't.
I'm a jalapeno man personally.
I do I'm a spice head.
I need that. Let's stick in the fruit food world. We're going to go to fruit. Same question, basically, but now fruit. If you can only have one fruit, it's the only fruit you can eat for the rest of your life. What fruit would it be?
Probably green grapes. Yeah.
Green grapes?
Yeah.
Wow, very okay. I think it's the first time I've heard green grapes. Yeah. All right. Why green grapes?
They're typically a little more acidic, a little more sour, so I tend to jump on
that's
that.
Go to. It's classy. It makes you feel like grapes are like, I mean, literally there's all those old ancient Greek photos of people like just
eating
being
grapes.
Lazy and
yeah.
people dropping grapes in
their robe. Yeah.
That's the kind of life I'm trying to
toga.
Live. Yeah, I got one titty out.
Yeah.
Like, that's a
yeah, exactly.
Like if I bend over, you're going to see my asshole. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. I've had a lot of grapes, so. All right, grapes, good call. Yeah, that's not one I've heard before, but I'll take it. All right. You're a music guy. Let's talk about music.
Right.
I like to ask this question about what I call guilty pleasure songs.
Oh, yes, like, all right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You're riding down the street. You're cranking your song. You roll up to a stoplight, look over, bus stop with people there. Windows go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
What's your go to? What's your guilty pleasure song?
Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, Sailor. Wow.
Definitely.
Nice.
Although I don't know if I'd roll up my windows.
No, you blare it harder.
I'd probably just make eye contact.
You like make it awkward.
Yep.
You want everyone to hear. What you're listening to?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if anyone's that's a good one. Give a little background. Here. How do you feel about Batman Forever?
Yeah, well, the most sensitive of the Batman movies.
The R.I.P. Joel Schumacher, who just passed away.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, man, I mean, Jim Carrey, dude.
Yeah.
I think he did a great job.
I think so, too. That was you know, that's a rough one going from Tim Burton. I think Joel Schumacher didn't have much of a vision for that series.
No. And I mean, yeah, Val Kilmer, man.
Yeah.
Val
Kilmer. And who was it? Tommy Lee Jones? Was that in that one?
It was Two-Faced, yeah.
Yeah. The it is still better than Batman and Robin.
Oh yeah,
that one with that. I actually bought that on DVD the other night from Amazon because I'm like, I was like making my bed. It's like 3 a.m. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And I just started thinking about that movie, that opening sequence with Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. And I'm like, I gotta watch that movie. show up. Like, I'm buying it on Amazon right now. Should show up any day now. I can't wait to watch it.
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, it is, that is arguably one of the worst. I mean, just the right, it is of the time, though. It's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, this is so, like, because what was that, like, probably 97?
Yeah, somewhere like, around there, 96, 97.
Yeah, it's, like, so of that time where it's, like, everything's got a little hokey, a little fast-paced.
Campy.
And just, yeah, like, the writing, I just want to know who wrote that and then saw the script at the end and be like, nailed it.
Yeah, fuck yeah, bud.
This is it.
This is going to be a hit.
This is the one we're spending millions of
this
dollars
is
on.
Fucking sealing my fate. Spielberg, yeah. I'm on my way.
Here we come. all right. Sticking with music, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Man in the Box.
Man in the Box.
Who's Alice in Chains.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right. I guess that's your, more your style of music.
Yeah,
huh?
the 90s grunge Seattle kid in me. Yeah. So.
The where do you usually go? Do you go karaoke much?
Yeah, man. We'd run around, you know, between the Star Bar or
classic
PJs or Monterey.
Yeah, all the classic karaoke spots here in Spokane.
It's always great to see the look on people's faces because they see the black guy jump up there, and like they have I know they have an idea of like, oh, he's probably gonna do, you know,
right,
maybe he's gonna do an Eminem song or something, right? And then I jump up there and do some grunge or heavy metal, and they're like what the
man,
fuck,
yeah,
wow,
way to break the stereotypes.
You're welcome.
I'm that guy. What is your favorite movie?
Ooh, favorite movie. Man. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about a favorite movie.
Besides Batman Forever.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. I would probably say Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Wow, going for the second one.
Yeah.
Here. Why that specifically?
That one is just one that I've always connected with since I was a kid.
All right. Yeah. That's probably right place, right time for you.
Yeah.
Like when you first saw it.
Yep.
It's one of those movies that, yeah, like there's some movies that like cement when you see them at the right age, it's the perfect demographic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like this movie's now forever.
Yep.
Like I love Spaceballs.
Oh,
I'm
beautiful.
Like, that will forever be one of my favorite
Ooh,
movies.
Ooh, you know what, man? I mean, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. That
also
one is
great.
That one
yeah.
will always be with me, and History of the World.
History of the World, yeah. I mean, Mel Brooks.
Yeah,
yeah. I am my favorite comedy of all time is actually Airplane.
Beautiful.
I can't. That's an anytime, anywhere movie for me. It's just packed with like, just the. I mean, joke after like, I still watch it every now and then, and I catch new jokes. I'm like,
Yeah.
Never would have figured that one out at 15.
No, I think Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. I mean, I learned so much about rhinoceros anatomy, dude. You know?
Yeah.
Did you know that rhinoceros give birth to grown men? Wow.
Now you know. Now
out
you know.
Of their butts.
We've got it's an election year, 2020. We've got an election coming up. If you... could elect one celebrity to be president, who would it be?
I got to be careful going with the celebrity route. I know quite a few of us have already gone down this this road, and it, you know, obviously I've been the best of the best. But
I can't. It's hard to top that.
Man, I don't know, celebrity wise.
Actors, musicians, anyone who...
Let's go with Dwayne Johnson. I heard that he was kind of thinking about it.
If he ran, he would 100% win. There's no way he would not win. Yeah,
the physical intimidation, period.
Yeah, alone.
Right there.
Like, he would just... Yeah, he's like... Do you smell what The Rock is cooking? It's a new economics plan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. he would dominate. I mean, people would just, people who've never voted in their life would come out and vote for The Rock.
Just imagine at the debates, Dwayne Johnson, same question to you. Sorry, you cannot answer the question by just raising an eyebrow.
Yeah, see, I mean, hey, Trump was on WWE also.
Yeah, that's right.
So Trump and Johnson for the presidential belt, for the keys to the White House.
I'm going to win this. I just want you people to know that.
That was, oh, God, that would be the best pay-per-view event ever. Yeah. All right. If you could get rid of one state, which state would you get rid of and why?
Man, one state. You know, I don't, there's a couple that I just don't ever plan on ever really visiting, so.
Sure.
Alabama, well, Mississippi.
Seems reasonable.
Can we combine them? Miss-Obama?
Yeah, just take kind of the Midwest, Southern and Southern, that little area, that chunk. Yeah, there's a whole, Middle America is not great. Not a lot going on there. The perimeter really is where you want to be. Even some of that sucks. Yeah. All right, let's, if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
The ability to have all superpowers.
Oh, wow.
I know, original answer. man, I'd probably say flight.
Flight?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't want to fly on airplanes.
You want to just fly yourself? How fast could you fly? Just like moderately fast?
I mean, I'd like to at least compete with airlines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 450 miles an hour, something like that, at least. All right. That's good. That's pretty fast. Yeah. You need some goggles for that.
There you go.
If you made an album, what would the name of the album be?
Especially because lately I've been really into spoof music.
All right.
It would probably be something like raunchy. Like Gooch Grease or something like
Gooch
that.
Grease.
Yeah, it'd be a complete trap house album.
I actually decided the other day, if I ever release a comedy album, I'm going to name it, I Wish This Was a Hip Hop Album.
See, I'll tell you, Gooch Grease, and it's going to be filled with a lot of fucking background noises.
Like just Cardi B shit. Yep. And like, who's that other guy? Is it Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Oh, yeah, 6ix9ine,
those guys are.
Yep.
Dude, I can't. I mean, I know hip hop isn't your preferred genre, but like, I've tried to listen to some of the more recent stuff.
Oh, dude.
And I'm just going, what the fuck? I can't. Mm-hmm.
It's
not even music.
I went back a couple weeks ago to go visit my old vocalist, and we sat in his studio and we made a song making fun of that, like, that trap house stuff. It's hilarious.
It's the worst. Yeah. I don't even, it's not even like I went on a road trip a while back and we were in Denver for like, drove around Denver all one day with just the, you know, kind of hip hop station on or whatever, mm-hmm. top four, whatever this fuck, you know. And I'm like, literally every song that came on, not sounded similar, like, sounded the same. You know, it's like this melodic kind of humming, talking, auto tune, and then just it's like it's not even a beat. It sounds like someone is playing the first generation iPod through a Roomba in an air tube, and you're like in a wind tunnel.
Yep.
And you're like, what the fuck? Like that almost sounds like a beat in the background, but I don't think so.
Nope. You know? Yep. It's just noise.
No. It's the worst. All right, last question.
Okay.
If you could purge, like the movie The Purge, for 1 hour, anything is legal, what would you do?
Oh. Man, I'm a really simple guy.
Yeah?
I'd probably just speed a lot.
Just go drive as fast as you can everywhere, hit the highway.
Wherever the hell I can go.
Yeah, drunk drive, speed drive.
I'm gonna, you know, probably no. Honestly, I probably do a lot more psychedelics.
All right, yeah, I mean, you can do that. Anyway, yeah, they can't stop you. I guess just do it and eat, like take acid in
just,
front
just,
of cops.
Yeah, just yeah. You know, just go out and about.
Yeah, that's you can. I
go on a walkabout.
Yeah, you can do that now, yeah. Man. That's my Thursdays. If you see me on a bike downtown on Thursday night, definitely on mushrooms. That's like legitimately been my Thursday night for the last like 5 months.
Oh, beautiful.
It's like every Thursday, I'm like, it's Thursday, we do mushrooms and go downtown.
Yeah,
like,
we go down. Oh, dude.
Yeah, just go on. I'll hop on my bike and I'll just like ride my bike around for hours. Usually like to be under the pavilion and when it hits dusk and like check out the lights and then just ride my bike home. Or we'll go hike around for hours.
Rad,
yeah,
dude.
That's right. It's my little like, you know. You made it.
Yeah.
Another week.
Did it. Yeah. It's Thursday. We're there.
Yeah.
We did this.
Right.
We
did it. You didn't have a job all week. You slept in every day. Man, you did it.
Yep.
We congratulate you.
Well, making moves.
Right. Doing big things. So, all right. That's it. You passed. You did it. Congratulations. You made it.
I didn't know this was a fucking pass fail.
Yeah, you know, you survive. That's all it takes. All right. Let's see. And one last time, if you'll just shout out the social media link so people know where to find you guys and can go busy, and maybe the address to the brewery too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So you can find us on Facebook, you know, River City Brewing Spokane, and through there you can find our Instagram, which is RCB Spokane, and then. We are located on, I think it's 121 Cedar Street, right there downtown.
And that's right in the parking lot right behind Steady Flow.
Yep.
On the corner
there. The Rocket
there.
Bakery. Yeah. And, yeah.
So, yeah, go follow them, guys. Support them. Keep an eye out for events coming up that they'll be doing. And hopefully soon. But at least go down, grab a beer. Get a growler to go. Check out some of their new stuff. And, yeah, support your local business, man. For you guys who are outside of the area, if you come to the area, go to River City Brew. They've done made some overhauls and definitely stepping their game up and killing it, man. So, ATN, thank you for coming on. I appreciate this.
Dude, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is great.
When you guys got something going on again, let me know. We'll have you on again. I'd love to promote it. And then maybe we can do something down at the brewery sometime, too.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah.
All right, guys. As for me, let's see. Next week, or next episode, I should say, we have Michael Pickens, who is has a CBD company around, but he's also the chair for the Libertarian Party. So we're going to talk to him. I am going to be performing at the a benefit for the Libertarian Party on the 14th. So I got asked to do a thing for a presidential candidate.
It's
just the Libertarian Party, so no big deal. Not like a real candidate. I'm very interested. I consider myself an independent, but I definitely like a lot of the ideals of the Libertarian Party, and I'm interested to talk to them a little bit more. And I really think getting past this stale two-party system that doesn't seem to be working should be better. We don't need it. We can all fucking vote for a person. We don't need electoral colleges. We don't need any of that shit. We have the internet. Right. We can all just write it, click a name, and fucking send our votes. It's fucking absurd. So that's a whole other. We don't need senators. We don't need those things don't. We can literally vote ourselves on anything that comes up. God, that's a whole other fucking thing I need. That's gonna be. So check out next episode where Michael Pickens and I probably yell for hours about that. It's going to be fun. We're also going to discuss my run for mayor in 2023. He's going to help me with that. So we're a couple of years away from that, but we're going to get it started because I want to fucking kick Nadine's ass. and as for live shows, guys, I'll be at the Spokane Comedy Club the 16th through the 18th. Hopefully, tentatively. They're telling me yes. We'll see. If we're open that night, cool. If not, I don't know. Also, the drinking debate back on the 23rd, and I'll be on the Dope Show on the 26th, all at Spokane Comedy Club. And then I go to Deese Comedy / calendar because I do have dates coming in Idaho, Montana, and Central Washington, where apparently COVID doesn't exist. So until then, guys, just check out Pants Pending, go do all that stuff, and the new show Trading Pages, and that's it, guys. For the Socialer, I've been Deese, and for ATN, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Old River City Brewing, Nick the Janitor, IPAs, Vaginal Yeast, George Clinton, Sears, Payphones, Ancient Greek People, and Joel Schumacher. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. If I bend over, you're going to see my asshole. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production
and part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios.